Our final interview takes a look at the accuracy of dynamic contour tonometry, DCT, used with patients who wear contact lenses. A recent study carried out by Daniela Nosch and her colleagues has suggested that on normal corneas fitted with a thin hydrogel contact lens, DCT yields precise intraocular pressure measurements and that these measurements are independent of corneal thickness and rigidity. In circumstances where patients use therapeutic contact lenses, this device will allow clinicians to take an accurate measurement of IOP without removing the patient's lenses. Malcolm Long talks to Daniela.
So, Daniela, would you like to briefly explain how the DCT works?
Certainly. The dynamic contour tonometer employs a tip with a concave surface, which is placed onto the cornea without distorting it. So the cornea actually can stay in its natural shape. And the capillary forces of the tear film pull the tip towards the cornea so that the pressure is equal on both sides of it. A digital pressure sensor is inside the tip and can consequently measure the pressure outside, which equates to the pressure inside the eye. When the tip is positioned correctly onto the cornea, one can hear a sinusoidal tone. And for each measurement, the tip has to stay in contact with the cornea for about 4 to 5 seconds. So in contrast to all other currently available tonometers, we are here taking a dynamic measurement which has a duration of about 9 to 10 heartbeats. This means that the reading has a pulsatile character because of the blood volume that is pumped into the eye with each cardiac cycle. The resulting IOP represents an average value between the systolic and the diastolic IOP. So the difference between the two is defined as the ocular pulse amplitude, or short OPA. A normal value for the OPA would be about 3 millimeters of mercury. Because there has been growing evidence that vascular factors may also contribute to the pathogenesis of glaucoma, the ocular pulse amplitude may help to monitor the clinical course of glaucoma.
And is the reading that you would come up with eventually, I know it comes up on an LCD, but is this an average reading between the trough and the peak of the sine wave?
Yeah, that's correct. So you get a reading of the actual IOP, which is an average of the OPA, in fact, and you get an additional reading of the OPA value.
So, Daniela, we've discussed the DCT itself. What led you into research using the DCT with contact lens?
Practicing in Switzerland, we are unfortunately not registered to use diagnostic drugs, and also the majority of European optometrists outside the UK are not registered to use them either. So using a soft contact lens for the IOP measurement would offer us a way around these legal constraints, and that's really what gave us the idea or what was the motivation for this study to be conducted.
Are there any patients it would not be suited to, or any patients it would be particularly beneficial for?
Certainly patients who struggle to keep up fixation for 4 to 5 seconds are not ideal. Equally, those with nystagmus are not suitable for a measurement with this instrument. But it would be particularly beneficial for patients with thin corneas, especially those with keratoconus or after refractive surgery, because the IOP can be measured independent of its biomechanical properties such as thickness, rigidity, curvature, astigmatism, and surface tension of the tear film. In contrast to applanation tonometry, here the cornea does not have to change its shape for a successful IOP measurement. And for the same reasons, this type of tonometer would be very useful for glaucoma screening.
So, how does the DCT compare to other tonometry measurements, such as the Goldman applanation tonometer?
Several studies have found that the dynamic contour tonometer measures significantly higher IOP values than does the Goldman tonometer. These differences can be explained by the fact that the IOP readings received with the Goldman tonometer show a larger amount of variability. They are also influenced by the biomechanical properties of the cornea. The largest effect probably comes from corneal thickness. The Goldman tonometer is calibrated for a corneal thickness of 520 micrometers. This means that it overestimates the IOP of thick corneas, but it underestimates it in thin corneas, so an additional percometry reading is necessary for accurate intraocular pressure measurement. The DCT, on the other hand, has been shown to be more accurate when the IOP readings were compared to the real IOP obtained with an intracameral procedure inside the eye.
So why do you think these OPA measurements were significantly different?
We were also surprised that the OPA rate turned out to be significantly different, whereas the IOP was not. In percentage, the difference in OPA amounted to 5.45%, which is not a large amount, but it still turned out to be statistically significant. Because the IOP measurement represents an average between a systolic and a diastolic IOP, the differences for OPA and IOP should have been either both significantly similar or both significantly dissimilar.
What further investigations do you think need to be carried out with dynamic contour tonometry?
Well, because we believe that the DCT can measure independently of corneal thickness and rigidity, it would be very interesting to know if the thickness, in other words, the power and the material of the soft contact lens has an effect on the IOP readings. So there's a study underway at the optometry school in Switzerland at the moment where they are investigating this issue with different contact lens powers and silicon hydrogel materials with increased stiffness compared to hydrogel materials.
And are there any indications as to what direction that research is taking you?
Well, so far they have completed the pilot study and they're going to move on to a larger scale study. And so far they couldn't actually find different values as such, but they found that there was a larger variability in the measurements when they used lenses with higher plus powers. But as I say, these findings have to be validated with a larger scale study.
And using negative power lenses rather than plus lenses, does that look as though it affects the results at all?
I would have expected them not to affect the results because a thinner lens I would expect to have less impact. However, they did also find that with the higher minus powers, there was a little bit more variability, not quite as much as with the plus powered lenses. But there seemed to be certainly a small difference. But as I say, these results are not representative yet.
In comparison to the area that we are applanating with a Goldmann tonometer, what kind of area of cornea are we measuring using the DCT?
Well, a Goldmann tonometer covers an area of, I believe, 3.06 millimeters, whereas the dynamic contour tonometer covers an area of 7 millimeters, and the sensor tip has a curvature radius of 10.5 millimeters.
So it gives us a much, much bigger area on which to average the thickness of the cornea.
That's right, and this also the fact that the tip of the DCT has a concave surface rather than a flat one means that this tip can be placed nicely onto the cornea without actually changing its shape, and what you get is just the capillary forces between the tear film and this tip, which is then nicely placed in position. And that then leads to the pressure equilibrium between inside and outside the eye from which the pressure reading can be conducted.
Daniela, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Thanks very much, Malcolm and Daniela. Please refer to the OQ webpage or the CD inlay to find references for Daniela's study and other recommended reading on this topic.